The federal government has a specific role to play when responding to a national disaster. The Commission on Children and Disasters wants to make sure the government's work doesn't overlook helping children in an emergency. Mark Shriver is the chairman of the National Commission on Children and Disasters. Just yesterday, they held a meeting to review federal agency response to their report to the President and Congress. Mr. Shriver joins us now. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on. Good morning.
And it has been a while since we've spoken with the commission. Let's just take a step back and remind our audience what your role is, what the commission's role is.
The commission was established by the President and Congress in 2008 to make sure that the unique needs of kids are met following a disaster like a hurricane, an earthquake, or even a terrorist attack. The commission was established following Hurricane Katrina, when it took nearly 6 months to reunite over 5,000 kids with their families. Even today, Amy, there's better planning and protection for dogs and cats than there are for protecting children. There's some amazing statistics that the commission has unveiled over the last couple of years. 6% of emergency rooms are prepared to meet the needs of kids following a disaster. That's only 6% of emergency rooms. And earlier this year, a report showed that only 12 states have minimal protections in place to protect kids at child care facilities and at school. Maryland meets all four of those minimum standards. The district meets three of the four, and Virginia only meets two of the four. So what we're really talking about is on a state level and also on a federal level, governments are not doing what's necessary to protect children in planning for a disaster and responding to a disaster and then in the long-term recovery. And that's what the commission's mandate is to expose those gaps and propose solutions so that the government at all levels can ensure the protection of its most vulnerable and smallest citizens.
And I guess we found in the Katrina disaster that often one of the compounding problems is that children and their guardians or parents become separated.
Absolutely, and that was true in Katrina. It's been true in the disaster since. We've done a better job in Katrina. Over 5,100 kids, over 5,000 children were separated from their families, and it took up to 6 months to reunite the last child with her family. And you can imagine if you have kids or grandkids being separated from your kid in a disaster, which is obviously in a very highly emotionally charged state. But to be separated from your kid for an hour, much less 6 months, would be truly traumatic, not only for the child, but for the parents as well.
Now, you and the commission have been working on this for a couple of years. You've had a report that you've been able to present to the President and Congress. What's been the reaction and what has happened since then?
Well, you know, when we first started up, FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate said the kids had suffered benign neglect for years. And I think that phrase is absolutely correct. I don't think anybody maliciously has ignored children's needs, but there has just not, frankly, been a strong enough focus, a spotlight shined on the fact that kids are not little adults, that they have different needs. And the recommendation, we issued an interim report about a year ago, and our final report went over to the President and the leadership in the House and Senate in October. People nod and say that they agree with a bunch of the recommendations, but the real question is whether they're going to really implement any of those changes. We called on the President to develop a national strategy on children in disasters, which we don't have right now. We called on the Department of Education to put more funding into disaster planning for schools. We should be doing a better job, obviously, with child care facilities and making sure that schools are safe places for children if a disaster, man-made or natural, were to hit. Juvenile justice systems don't have plans in place to take care of kids that have been in those facilities, or child welfare systems don't as well. We also have made great progress, though, in the area of shelter designs and the supplies that are going to shelters. In the past, shelters would open up and they'd have one pack of diapers, for instance, and no baby wipes. Or very few baby wipes. And what you ended up have happening was families moving into shelters for a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks, and running out of supplies in the first 24 to 48 hours. So we've made some progress, but there's a lot more that needs to be done, and the leadership on both the House and Senate and in the executive branch needs to realize and take steps to address these glaring deficiencies.
We're speaking with Mark Shriver. He is chair of the National Commission on Children and Disasters. Now, before, you mentioned that the local jurisdictions have varying degrees of compliance with the four criteria you outlined for readiness for children. And my question is, who's responsible at a state or in somewhere like the district? Which belly button do you push to get that readiness level up?
Well, it's at all levels. When we talk about child care facilities, those are regulated by the state. And for a low cost or no cost, the state governments can require that child care facilities have these four basic requirements. That is, they have an evacuation plan in case a disaster were to hit. They have a reunification plan in place. They ensure that children with special needs, that those needs are addressed in their planning. And for K through 12 schools, that multi-hazard planning is in place. So, for instance, if you live in Virginia and you drop your child off at a child care facility in the morning and you drive into the district, do you know if that child care facility, if a dirty bomb were to hit D.C., does that child care facility have an evacuation route to get your child to a safe place and a plan to reunify you or one of your relatives with your child if something were to happen to you? If your child has special needs, is that taken into account? So the states have that role. But on the other hand, the federal government spends hundreds of millions of dollars every year in child care vouchers. And they could mandate that those child care vouchers go to facilities and that those facilities, as a result of getting those federal dollars, should have these requirements in place. So there are a number of ways to make sure that this happens. And in the district, obviously, the city council should be taking a step of making sure that they meet all four of the basic requirements in place. You know, we changed the rules, or the rules got changed down in Mississippi, which is obviously a disaster-prone area, and the state legislature down there just said, look, we never even thought about children's needs. And they implemented that bill that meant Mississippi met all four of those requirements, and they've taken those proactive steps, but they just never thought about kids' needs, and we see that consistently on the federal and state levels.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Is that the biggest obstacle, awareness, or is it money?
Well, it's awareness, but there are obviously dollars that need to be spent on getting all the schools up to speed on disaster plans. The federal government spends just a small amount of money. I think it's about $30 million a year to ensure that schools all across this country have the plans in place and that staff are trained, that the school personnel have the mental health training to work with kids after a disaster hits. And obviously that's only meeting a small fraction of the need. So there are dollars that can be spent and should be spent on children's needs, but unfortunately kids don't give money, they don't vote, they don't have radio shows or television shows in order to get the message out. So I think that's one of the main reasons that Congress created the National Commission on Children and Disasters. It was to shine a light on this and to expose some of these glaring situations, and that's what the National Commission is doing.